TV.
Martin Sender reporting here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. My wife Maria, when she saw the video yesterday of me recording at 5:45 with my cyst leaking, she just like, OMG, you didn't do that, did you? You didn't do that. She couldn't believe it. Well, that's what happens with no supervision at 5:45 a.m. She was not very happy, and she hopes that you come back today. How could you do that to those nice people? Well, I was tired of wearing the big bandage. I had a bandage during the night, and I took it off, and Maria's the one who expertly puts the bandages on. You know, she's, like I said, she can do it all. She's bandaging me up, and in the morning it came off, and I just didn't really want to mess with it, I guess. And of course, I couldn't wake her up at 5:30 in the morning, so I just said, I'll just make a show. Didn't plan on leaking that much, so my apologies. I got a funny text from a brother in Virginia who said, damn, dude, I just made a big bowl of cottage cheese and apples, and you show me that photo. After I barf, I'm going back to bed. We both got a laugh out of that. Maria looks at me and she said, what did I tell you? But then he says, just kidding. I'm glad you're doing a little better. Thank you, brother. And we got a laugh out of that. So today's cleaner, I got a little Band-Aid on it, but this was day two. Just briefly here before I finish up on this little series on Daniel chapter 12, I had my second day of treatment at Sasha Barrios. Yeah, I don't know if you can call it a clinic. I am looking forward to going back tomorrow. He treats with electricity and light. You know, the body produces electricity. I mean, the body is electric. Our heart beats because of electrical current. And he used a couple machines on me that I don't know if you can say broadcast, or they don't broadcast. They send out certain wavelengths that affects certain parts of the body, such as the cells, and they help rebuild cells. I mean, each treatment took about 2 hours, and you just lay there. For instance, well, let me show you this. First, let me show you the location. Let me tell you, this is as different from a doctor's office as you can get. I hate doctor's offices. Why haven't they changed? You go to a doctor's office, they got a glass jar with the cotton balls and a glass jar with the tongue depressors. Are you kidding me? Is this 1925? Is this a movie? Like, is somebody going to yell, cut? A glass of tongue depressors? And they got that crinkle paper? Nobody's ever thought of anything else since 1926? And just any clinic or hospital or doctor's office, the fluorescent lighting, the lack of windows, the lack of any happiness, the lack of any artistic decoration. This place was completely different. Let me show you some photos I took today. Open windows. Yes, open windows, natural light. There wasn't a light on in the place. Didn't need it. It was about noon when we got there today. Trees outside. You can walk right outside. It used to be somebody's house. There are about three or four treatment rooms. You can see some of them here. And Sasha has an office there. I guess he's only there 2 days a week. There's one, maybe five or six clinicians working there, people who know how to use the equipment. And it feels like a resort or like a spa almost. And the most beautiful thing is, like I said yesterday, the first tenet of the Hippocratic Oath is do no harm. And being there, you knew that no one was going to do you any harm, that you weren't having to endure some nightmarish treatment that has like 25 deadly side effects, possible side effects, but even the possibility of it just tenses you up and makes you sick, makes you ill. But this place, electricity, it works with the body, because the body, again, is electric. Your heart beats because of electric current. I mean, this, I can't say enough about it. And it takes so long because it's gentle. The treatment takes so long. Like, here's a video Maria took of me yesterday. First, here's the piece of equipment that was used, okay? Now, here's a video she took. I'm holding on to these two electrode things. I guess they're copper. I don't know. And then I have two patches on my stomach. And then I have these two glass bulbs on either side of my neck that are pulsating with red light. I don't know if it's infrared. I don't know what kind of light it is exactly. And then there was some serious electrical current coming through my hands and like almost like jerking my wrists. And it was, I said, put it up as far as you can, you know, I want to get this treatment. I just want to get whatever it's got. So he pumped it up. He goes, how's that? And I said, I think I can take more. How's that? Give me another notch. Okay, that's as far as I can take. This went on for 2 hours yesterday. I got used to it after a while. After a while, it became a little bit pleasant, strange. And then, I had to drink like 5 cups of ionized water before this happened. I drank the ionized water, got this treatment. Actually, it's supposed to be an hour. I got two treatments because we're rushed. We're coming home Saturday. Glad to be going home. And then after that, I drank this purple stuff. I'm not sure what it was. I had to gargle with the first load, and then I gargled for, he goes, gargle for as long as you can. Don't tell me that, because I will gargle for 22 hours. I mean, for as long as you can, I take this shit seriously. I mean, I will gargle until everybody falls asleep and goes home, and you come back the next day, I will still be gargling, because I'm an endurance guy. Don't tell me to gargle as long as you can. So I'm gargling and gargling and gargling. Maria's sitting there, and the technician guy, his name was Antonio. Oh, you can stop now, sir. Oh, okay. He goes, then he wanted me to swallow it, and then I took some more. And then I had to open my mouth. Here's some little footage of that. Open my mouth with this red light coming in. Make sure I closed my eyes, and I had to say, because, you know, my cancer was originally, you know, squamous cell carcinoma in the mouth. So this is like a protective. And this is like maintenance stuff. I'm going to do this every time we come to Peru, because this is magical. It's not magical. It's scientific. It's scientific. And it's advanced. It doesn't look advanced, right? Because, I mean, the place, when you go there, it was a house built maybe in, I don't know, 1960s or something. But I would put this up against modern methods any day. And it follows the Hippocratic Oath. First, do no harm. Do no harm. So today, I had to hold two like stick things. This has happened for 2 hours also. Two wands on either side of my neck. And they were pulsating. And this time the electrodes were down around my ankles. And I did that for 2 hours. And I was relaxed. I was so peaceful. I felt so just peaceful, thinking I was doing something good for my body that was not hurting me and that wouldn't hurt me. It was working with me, not against me. It was amazing. I honestly can't wait to go back tomorrow. And that thing that was on my neck, that giant thing with the holding the electrodes, it made such a beautiful hum. It was like a fan. I love the white noise. This is more like brown noise, you know, but it was lovely. And then I saw Sasha for about 10 minutes yesterday. He came while I was on the thing. And anyway, just amazing stuff, folks. I feel really good about it. I'm feeling better. My cyst's gone down. It really has. It's drained all day. It's gone down. I feel better, and this is the way to go for me. I mean, different strokes for different folks, but this is the way I want to go. And there's something to be said for peace. There's something to be said for not being anxious as hell, not being full of dread and fear. The mainstream world fills you with fear. The religious world and the medical world, they thrive on fear. And on this trip, three medical men filled me with fear. They did it on purpose. They wanted me to feel fear. They wanted me to feel threatened. They weren't optimistic about anything. Without really knowing anything for sure, they always saw the glass half empty. And it was terrorizing. Some of the things they said with no reason for saying it, except I think there's something about, well, one thing I know they all had in common is when they found out that I did not want to take radiation and chemotherapy, as soon as they found that out, everything changed and they became fearmongers and doomsayers. But this place, which with natural light, open windows, breeze coming in, relaxed atmosphere. I was in bare feet. When I needed to use the bathroom, I went up the stairs in my bare feet. This is one of those places where, one of the few places where you can walk around barefoot and nobody gives it a second thought or a second glance. So thank you, God, and thank you, Maria, and Maria's friend who introduced us to Sasha. This is why I wanted to stay in Peru a little longer. So we're coming home Saturday, and in my mind, if you'd ask me, things are looking good. Now, let's finish this up. I want to make some points in 1 Timothy. I was in chapter 1, and I want to go to verse 4 and verse 6, because there are some good words here, interesting words here that come out nicely in the Greek. Let's read the whole passage. I think I read a lot of this yesterday, but I didn't emphasize the words I'm going to emphasize today. And then I'm going to end today's show by telling you something shocking that I believe Mr. Nock, A.E. Nock, Adolf Ernst Nock, the translator of the Concordant version of the Old Testament and the Concordant Literal New Testament, I believe he fulfilled a passage in Daniel chapter 12. He single-handedly had a part in fulfilling Scripture. So I'm going to end with that. But for now, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the injunction of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our expectation, to Timothy, a genuine child in faith, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. According as I entreat you, remain with them in Ephesus when going into Macedonia, that you should be charging some not to be teaching differently. This goes along with the swerving. Let me go back to that verse. In the last days, the intelligent shall warn. You remember that. Now you, Daniel, this is verse 4. Of Daniel 12, you, Daniel, stop up the words. In other words, seal them up. Nobody's going to understand this. And seal the scroll until there will be a time when people will understand Daniel's prophecy. Until the era of the end, where we are, when many shall swerve as knowledge shall increase. So even while this swerving is happening, and we're going to see it happening here in 1 Timothy 6. And we're in the middle of it. Everywhere you look, some teacher or wannabe teacher in the body of Christ is swerving as to the faith and drawing away disciples to themselves by using unsound words, illicit interpretations, and causing other people to swerve with them. I and others, as I said before, stand strongly against this, as did the Apostle Paul. And I tell you that when you stick to the scriptures, and when you have a basic understanding of logic, and when you have a basic understanding of how to read the scriptures without importing your own thoughts and ideas into it, when you have developed over time a knack, this is difficult for a mature person, a spiritually mature person, to still be able to read the scriptures as a child. Very difficult, because as an adult, you want to import your own thoughts into the scriptures. This is not good. This is not good. So back to 1 Timothy. You should be charging some not to be teaching differently. And some people complain when I do this. A few people, many of you, most of you are grateful for it. But there are a couple whiners who don't like it when I criticize other people and tell them that they should not be teaching differently. But here is Paul, who admits here that he has entreated Timothy that he should be charging some. Who's the some? The ones who are bringing the sects. The ones who are bringing the sects, not to be teaching differently, nor yet to be heeding myths. And I've heard a lot of myths in the last couple decades, but especially the last few months. Myths and endless genealogies. We're not so concerned about genealogies, but back in the day, people were probably trying to trace their roots to some Israelite tribe, which are affording exactions rather than God's administration, which is in faith. We should be concentrating on faith in God, faith in Christ, unfolding the marvels of God in Christ. But instead, these myths and these people who are teaching different things just to stand out, just to be different, just to be exciting, they are affording exactions. Now, this exaction in the Greek is exegesis. Exegesis. Translated exactions in the Concordant Version. The English element is out-seeking. Out-seeking. It goes along with what I said to you yesterday about the be in a row. That's what the word swerve. The word swerve means to go off the path. But the English elements are be in a row. Many people today don't like to be in a row. They feel like they're a conformist, or they're copping out, or they're just going with the flow. It's so fashionable, you know, to disagree with A.E. Nock or to disagree with Martin Zender. So fashionable. And you're a somebody if you disagree with A.E. Nock or the Concordant Publishing Concern. You've really made a mark for yourself. Exactions, out-seeking. Seeking something outside of the foundations of truth, out-seeking. It's like these truths that we've been talking about for decades are, to some people, old. They're getting stale. We're tired of talking about the same thing. So they seek something outside, exactions, affording exactions. And it is looking outside of established truth. Truth established not by me, not by any other teacher in the body of Christ, but by Paul, that we learn from a good translation. The King James translated this questions. It's an inaccurate translation, but I like it. Which are affording questions. Oh, people would love to ask questions. Why would God do that? Well, I don't understand why anybody raised at the Great White Throne would go back to the second death. Well, I don't understand how God can judge people who he makes hard. Well, how can you say that Jesus Christ was formed without a sperm? Well, and just all these questions, questions, questions. It's like, shut up with your questions. Just read scripture and believe it. It's simple as that. Just read the scripture and believe it. But no, exactions, questions, outseeking, wanting to make waves, not content to be in a row, pushing against the status quo. But this is the most refined status quo in the world. I'm talking about the body of truth we have via a good translation and via sound teachers over the last 100 years, classic teachers, teachers who have been tried and teachers who have been checked up on and double-checked and triple-checked against the Word of God. But there are people who just can't be satisfied with that. Clyde's one of them. All the Tories there in the same group. Norman LaBelle, same kind of person, looking for some new thing, don't want to go along with Concord. I'm independent. I have independent thoughts. Well, that's too bad you have independent thoughts. Shame on you. Because Paul told Timothy, charging people not to be teaching differently, not to have independent thoughts, but to stick with the Word of God. I know, it's boring. It's the same old, same old. You're tired of it. Is there anything new? No. There's nothing new under the sun. There are new presentations, there are new teachers, but God help them if they do not stick to the Word of God and to laws of language and to rules of scriptural interpretation. And if they're looking for pizzazz, they're looking for individuality, they're out-seeking, they're looking to not be in a row, because that makes them just like everybody else. It's disgusting, really. Verse 4, nor yet to be heeding myths and endless genealogies which are affording exactions rather than God's administration, which is in faith. That's all we care about, God's administration, God's administration. Let's read about God's administration. Stop asking questions. Stop seeking something outside of God's administrations and believe our apostle and read the letter as though you're receiving it. In a scroll, you unroll it, somebody reads it, and that's how you understand it. Nobody's arguing about translations or words or exactions, questions. I'm not saying there weren't legitimate questions that Paul, when he came into town, would help to explain, to elucidate. But these kinds of questions are people just jibber-jabber, just want to hear themselves talk. I just want to ask questions so that there could be more questions, because some people think it's wrong to arrive at truth, because then you look like you're stubborn. You look like you're stiff-necked. You arrive at a truth and you stay there and nobody moves you from the truth. You look like you're mean. I've been accused of this many times. You look like you're mean. You look like you're stubborn. You're inflexible. Damn right I'm inflexible. Damn right I can't be moved. Damn right I'm stubborn. All of the above. And that's why you're watching this show. Maybe my presentation might be on the maverick side, but what I'm telling you is not ever. It's not ever to be individualistic. It's not ever to seek something exciting outside of the truth in which we have been rooted and grounded. And this is an epidemic today in the body of Christ. I'm sure it has been all through the years. But not, apparently not as much as today. Because it is in the era of the end that many shall be swerving. Many shall be swerving. And have you ever seen more crap coming out of the body of Christ? Have you ever seen more crappy teaching coming out? More weird teaching and strange interpretations and no logical abilities, no careful examinations of texts, no trust of trusted teachers. Men like A. Enoch, for instance, who have studied the scriptures for years, and maybe one of the Tories studied it for 13 months. Maybe somebody's been a believer for a notorious for 13 months. Suddenly they're an expert. Oh. Yeah. Charging some not to be teaching differently, nor yet to be heeding myths. Verse 5, now the consummation of the charge is love out of a clean heart and a good conscience and unfeigned faith, from which some swerving have turned aside into vain prating. There's another word I want to look at, prating. This is a Greek word. Oh boy, it's a big one. Meta eulogia, prating. It's a vain sayer. V-A-I-N, vain sayer. People who just say things out of vanity because they like to hear themselves talk. They want other people to hear them talk. They want to hold court. They want to present their theories. But it's all in vain. It's all empty. It's all worthless because they're just talking out of their imaginations. This is what the Tories do, for instance. Perfect example, the latest and greatest example of vain prating. Vain sayer. The KJV, here again, I like the KJV translation, jangling. They're just out there jangling, making noise, being interesting, being fantastic. Clyde Pilkington camp, same thing, jangling. They're just jangling out there. Grace is no longer grace. It's joy. Joy. Well, there's another Greek word for joy. Well, now we have two Greek words for joy. No, we're getting rid of grace. Why are you getting rid of grace? Because we don't think anybody's unworthy. People might feel bad. Do I hear jangling? Do I hear vain prating? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Do I hear people who are unmoored? Yes, I do. Do I hear people who are swerving as to the truth? Yes, I do. Asking too many damn questions instead of just believing the word of God? Yes. Looking for an exciting revelation? Yes. That's what I see. Okay. So, A. E. Knox's translation of Daniel chapter 7, the four beasts coming out of the sea that Daniel sees. Remember, I'll put the verse down here. I don't believe any other translation in the history of the human race, since Daniel wrote his prophecy, has translated. Let me start that sentence again. Every translation has said the first animal was a lioness. The first animal. A. Enoch said the eastern beast was a lioness. Eastern. And that is a legitimate translation of the word that all the other versions translate first. And I don't know of any translator, any expositor today who doesn't link Daniel 7 to Daniel 2. Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar's image. Daniel 7, the four beasts. They think it's the same, even though the beasts are contemporaneous, while the image is successive, one kingdom succeeding another one. In other words, the Babylonian Empire comes and it disappears. It's replaced by the Medo-Persian Empire. However, the four beasts of Daniel 7 exist at the same time because the wild beast, not the wild beast, but the monstrous beast number four, the westernmost beast, stamps out the others. The others. Well, that means they're existing at the same time. Yes, they're contemporaneous. They're not the same. The eastern animal, this is a revelation. This is part of the wisdom. This is part of the knowledge that Daniel was talking about. Knowledge will increase. Knowledge of this passage will increase. And then when you see these as religions, and when you look at the description, and when you take them from east to west, you see that every description of every beast fits a religion. And in the order that they are described by Daniel, they go east to west. And the western beast, the monstrous, has iron teeth and copper claws. That is mechanized destruction. And that almost could not have been understood back in Daniel's day. Just about could not be understood. Certainly that these were religions. And if it was understood, Maybe Daniel understood it. Some of these people didn't understand what they were writing. If it wasn't understood, then it got buried quickly. It disappeared. Daniel, just stop up the words, seal the scroll till the era of the end, when Mr. A.E. Nock will translate the Concordant version of the Old Testament, and he'll get everybody up to speed that these are four religions, and that the Western religion, Christianity, will stomp on an Eastern religion, which is known as Islam. I believe that that is a fulfillment of this scripture that has occurred in our lifetime.